He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as distinguished as Ken Pendergraft, and he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. But every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
Well, it is that time once again, boys and girls. Just Blame Joey Live. Getting ready to kick off here in just a moment. Got some Jailbird Joey Road Jams coming your way today. So get that cup of coffee filled up, find that comfy seat, and strap in. Got an hour of Just Blame Joey Live on the way right now here on the Independence Network.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, It is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audio Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls, and if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea, but we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot. And it is time once again to stir that pot. Welcome back to the show and good morning out there in internet radio land. It is good to be getting back into the swing of things and sharing time with you here in the studio every morning. It is Thursday, March 21st, and it's time for you to get your fill of cantankerous commentary with that political, social, and civic entertainment all backed up with facts and data that you've come to crave and is the standard here at the Independence Network. Jailbird Joey in the driver's seat for the next hour or so, and as always, guaranteed to be 95% correct 100% of the time. Heard a little T-Rex coming into the show today with Get It On, Bang A Gong, and we are going to get it on today. Going to do a little Jailbird Joey road jams as we continue to adjust to the new one-hour show format. So a little less music than we used to play here on Just Blame Joey Live, but we did have to make room for that new morning show, and you got to give a couple things up. So a little work on one side, a little less music on the other, but with that, every morning at 9 a.m., you'll be able to tune into the Independence Network and catch the morning show with David Iverson and myself, as there was no end to the request that we continued that collaboration that we started when we were down in Cheyenne, so we are going to do that. And definitely by popular demand, we are happy. And we'll continue to work on getting into the new schedule across the network and here on Just Blame Joey Live. Bring back some old favorites, some segments that people keep asking for. And today we'll do a little bit of road jams that Jailbird Joey listens to while driving across the state, getting windshield time all the time, covering all of this political, civic, and social stuff going on from corner to corner in the Cowboy State. And we'll do all that while you're getting your fill of cantankerous commentary here on the Independence Network. David Iverson live in the Northern Command studio this morning. We had an interesting Cowboy State politics live this morning, so make sure you're catching up with that. It will replay in the afternoon. I believe we restart our schedule at 3 p.m., so if you missed it, make sure you're tuning in and staying up to date with all that content. Actually, I think the morning show starts at 3, so if you missed either of those, 3 p.m. is your time to get back on the Independence Network. And I'll let you know right now, the plan for Just Blame Joey Live, the morning show, and Wide Right Turn is to the day after it plays on the network. I'll go ahead and post that to the podcast so you can catch it, download it, own it, share it anytime you want. But we're going to work on how that content is accessible across the network after it's been aired live. And we'll come up with something in the next week or two. And we'll definitely let you know about it when we get that locked down. So as always, I invite you to tune in and come sit with the Warriors at the Independence Network, because when you sit with Warriors, the conversation is different. Jailbird Joey, happy to be back in the studio and swinging the bat hard from the Cathedral of Accountability this morning, all ramped up and ready to get into that content you've been wanting, craving, and demanding with our news story for today. Wyoming clerk says Secretary of State Chuck Gray's office is doing little to promote the crossover voting change. Another steaming pile out of the cow pie. We'll jump into that. Probably before the end of the day, we will get to bringing back Jailbird Joey's grandiloquent word of the week. And of course, no episode of Just Blame Joey Live would be complete without a visit to the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. So we'll get to all that today while we enjoy some of Jailbird Joey's favorite road jams here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous.
Little ZZ Top for you with My Head's in Mississippi, and it's okay if your head's in Mississippi as long as your residence is in Wyoming and you're currently registered to vote. Some people might not be, and apparently there's some concerns that people are going to be facing issues when they go to the polls this year. Let's get into whatever little lion Leo Trotsky has to say from the Cowpie. The story just dropped on my desk about an hour ago, titled, Wyoming Clerk Says Secretary of State Chuck Gray's Office Doing Little to Promote Crossover Voting Change. Okay, I'm going to read through the story, stop when it's appropriate, make some commentary. Go ahead and let me know what you think if you have any thoughts or opinions on the story we're bringing you today. You can send those to Joey at justblamejoey.com. But here is the story. For the first time this year, Wyoming primary voters can't crossover vote. They have to decide their party affiliation months earlier, by May 15th. But a county clerk says Chuck Gray's office is doing little to let people know about the change. Oh, I have a feeling I'm going to like this story and have plenty to say about it. Many Wyoming voters may still not know about an important change to a primary election registration deadline that's less than 2 months away. Wyoming lawmakers last year passed a law establishing a much earlier deadline to change party affiliation to vote in the state's primary election. Previously, voters could change party affiliation as late as the day of the primary in August, a practice called crossover voting. Now that deadline is the day before the official candidate filing period opens 3 months earlier on May 15th. A few Wyoming county clerks and voter advocacy groups say they're planning a blitz to get the word out about the much earlier voting registration deadline this spring. Time out. I haven't read the rest of this story yet. I don't know who these clerks are or who these voter advocacy groups are, but if you're planning a blitz to get the word out and the bill passed last year, what have you been sitting on your asses for? The complaint is Chuck Gray's office is not doing enough, but now you're saying I'm a county clerk or I'm a voter advocacy group and I haven't said nothing in the last year since this bill became law and we knew this deadline was coming? Yeah. Little pot calling the kettle black there. Anyway, we'll get into what all that means before the end of the story here, I'm sure. Back to the story. These individuals also question why Wyoming Secretary of State Chuck Gray and his office aren't being more vocal about publicizing the change, especially since Gray was one of the loudest voices calling to put an end to crossover voting during last year's legislative session. Quote, a lot of people are going to show up mad when they try to vote in August, said, I knew that was going to be in there, Marguerite Herman, a representative of the League of Women Voters of Wyoming. Herman goes on to say, quote, we're going to try and preempt a lot of that, end quote. This is the biscuit head that runs the League of Women Voters. Not that there's a problem with the League of Women Voters, but man, they just put a cherry on top in their leadership decision there. Thinks we live in a democracy. in fact, testified as such at a hearing, well, for Secretary of State Chuck Gray's office over the voting rules for establishing residency when registering to vote. And I hate to tell you, if you're the leader of a voting advocacy group, especially one as, you know, well known as the League of Women Voters, you think you might want to learn how our system works and realize we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. In fact, that is proven by the fact that we go to vote for our representatives. It may be a quasi-democratic practice that we utilize to elect those those representatives, but it's because we are a representative republic that we have voting at all. So wrong again there, Marguerite. Let's see where else this story goes. A spokesperson for Gray's office was noncommittal about how and when the office will start publicizing the change. Gray strongly advocated for getting rid of crossover voting and changing the deadline and was heavily involved in the legislative process to make it happen in 2023. Quote, as the Secretary of State's office prepares for the 2024 election cycle, the office plans on engaging in a voter awareness and education campaign similar in size and scope to the practice of the previous administration, said Joe Rubino, a spokesperson for the office. Rubino did not immediately respond to a follow-up question about when the office plans to start the informational campaigns to get the word out to Wyoming voters. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to hold off for a second. We'll get into why does everybody think it's got to be the Secretary of State's office and it's got to be immediate and it's got to... Hey, there's other... I mean, we're reading this in the Cowpie. Didn't the Cowpie cover the action that made crossover voting when it came into law news? You have such a far, you know, reaching expanse and so many readers, Cowpie. How do you believe, honestly, you're reporting on people being uninformed? That just means you're either lying about your numbers or you aren't doing your job when you're reporting this stuff. This was big news when it happened. Anyway, why the party affiliation change matters so much in Wyoming is because most of the state's races are decided in the August primary because of an overwhelming Republican majority in the state. Typically, there are a few items for unaffiliated voters to decide on in primary elections in Wyoming besides some city council races. True, that is accurate. Good job. Hey, you're reporting fact there, finally. But I hate the misnomer. Personally, it drives me nuts. And I've even heard, you know, my county clerk state something to this effect of, well, if we don't have partisan primaries, some people won't have anyone or anything to vote for. Yes. Based on your residence in whatever political subdivision it is, especially if you live out in a county, an unincorporated area, you may not have anything to vote for in a primary. Why? Because a primary is not a pre-general election. A primary for the nonpartisan side is to thin the herd of candidates so that the general election ballot isn't overburdened and there's not such a split between the number of candidates so that you can actually produce a winner. In Wyoming, we don't even have a requirement for a majority winner. You can win with a plurality, but that's what the nonpartisan primary is. The partisan primaries are some weird, I don't know, state-run effort to assist, or I think it's actually control, the political party's decision of who their nominee for the office on the general election ballot is. And I've gotten into it before, and I'll get into it again. I think it's completely ridiculous and unconstitutional the way they do it. Only two parties get to or have to participate in the primary, and the other two parties are forbidden from participating. But yes, the reality and legitimately, some people may not have anybody to vote for in a nonpartisan primary. It happens already. Unincorporated residents out in the county who aren't affiliated voters, what we call independents, may already get well, I can't say get a ballot with nobody on it, may show up and find out there is no ballot produced because there were no candidates and no offices in the area in which they live. It's not the government's job to produce candidates or positions so everybody has something to vote for. If you don't have something to vote for because it's not in your district, hey, suck it up. I don't hear anybody complaining in the Democrat Party when they get their primary ballot and there's only two offices of the nine available with candidates they can vote for in there. It just doesn't exist because you don't have any candidates. You have no one to vote for. Anyway, moving on into back to the story.
If a voter is registered as a Republican and wants to switch affiliation, they must do so by May 15th, even though the primary election isn't until August 20th. Voters who are registered but unaffiliated with a party will also be impacted by the change. People who aren't registered to vote at all, or voters who don't wish to change their party affiliation, won't be affected. Yeah? Okay. Those who did not vote in the most recent general election, and that doesn't mean the last time the president ran. That means in 2022, if you did not vote in the November election, or if you moved to another county or changed your name, you need to register to vote again. This is standard Wyoming law that regardless of what you think Chuck Gray's office is or isn't doing, whatever changes in the laws you may or may not be complaining about, that has always been the standard. If you didn't vote in the last general election, you have changed your residence. This story says move to another county. I say if you moved at all, because you may have switched precincts without knowing it, or you have changed your legal name, you already had to re-register to vote. It's called updating your voter registration information. Crossover voting is changing a party affiliation with impact to another primary's party's primary election. There's been a belief espoused by many Wyoming conservatives, the Wyoming Republican leadership, and Secretary Gray that Democrats have been crossing over to influence Republican Party primaries, most specifically seen in the 2018 Republican gubernatorial race won by Mark Gordon, but not won by a majority. He won that primary race by, I believe it was 33% of the vote. Here's a nice pop-up ad from the Wyoming caucus right in the middle of a cow pie story. Not surprised there, as they are bedfellows. And all the news they're paid to print here on Cowboy State Daily. Let's see what else we got here. Although many expressed fears crossover voting would unfairly impact the 2022 U.S. House race between former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and U.S. Representative Harriet Hageman, whatever Democrat presence there was in that race had no impact on the final result, which Hageman won by a landslide. Now, I'm not going to say it had no impact. It may have had no impact in the ultimate who won and who lost that race, but we did see crossover voting. We did see Joe Barbuto publicly call for it. By the way, Joe Barbuto is the chairman of the Wyoming Democrat Party, call for crossover voting to support their girl Liz. We saw Liz Cheney send mailers to every registered voter in the state explaining how and why they should cross over to vote. And just because there isn't enough response or even enough crazy socialist Democrat liberals to switch over, probably because most of them were already hiding out in the Republican Party, doesn't mean it's not a problem. And it definitely is a problem for the political parties. Why? Because now we have a severely weakened and poorly represented Democrat Party. I may dislike their ideals, their philosophies, and their principles, but I still believe that we need a strong, robust, and properly represented Democrat Party. Stop switching over in the playoffs to the team you think's going to win just because you want to be on a winning team or you want to help them cheat. Stay with your group. Stick with your principles. This is how things work in reality. When you want a strong team, don't give up on your team. Work hard. Go through a few rebuilding years. You guys can do it. I believe in you. I don't like seeing Democrats win or affect the outcome of legislation that violates liberty, the Constitution, conservatism, but I do believe they have a right to exist, and I would love to see a strong and robust Democrat, Libertarian, and Constitution Party here in Wyoming. I think it would put to bed a lot of these concerns that we have over the political climate in Wyoming. And moving on in through the story, Senator Cale Case from Lander. Oh, Nancy, what do you got? Who is the chairman of the Senate's Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions Committee, doesn't expect the party affiliation change to result in different election outcomes and say it may even cause some people who in the past may have switched between parties election to election to just stay put as Republicans. Well, that was already happening, Cale. Great finger on the pulse there, especially when considering the lack of Democratic Party races in Wyoming. Yeah, well, like I said, it's already happened. We need a stronger, more robust Democrat Party, and it's not the government's responsibility or the legislature's responsibility to provide voters or populate a ballot so that everybody has someone to vote for. That's a civic responsibility of the people and a duty of the parties. Go and find candidates, get them to run, make sure everybody has someone to run for, and accept that you're going to have some nonpartisan races that aren't going to appear on any ballot because you live out in the middle of nowhere. It's okay. So let's see what else. Okay. Fremont County Clerk Julie Freese. Not surprised. I knew when they said county clerks that she would be in there. County Clerk from Fremont County, Julie Freese, said that she was told by the Secretary of State's office it will start actively putting out information about the changes in May. Quote, I think that will be too late, Freese said. Marissa Carpio, a representative of the Equality State Policy Center, said the organization finds the lack of information put out by the Secretary of State's office concerning, quote, we're less than 2 months away from the deadline to change party affiliation, and there's been a gnarling absence of state-sanctioned voter education on this crucial change. Wyoming folks work hard and deserve to understand how to participate meaningfully and freely in our election system. Sheridan resident Gail Simmons. Oh, man, I could have called this. A political activist for her organization, Civics 307, was a little more blunt. Quote, the desired outcome is to shut people out, end quote, she said. Sounds like she's accusing Secretary of State Chuck Gray of active and illegal disenfranchisement, which is a crime. And if you're going to accuse somebody of a crime, I want to see the police report you filed on that one, Gail. Simmons went on to say, if there is fraud in Wyoming elections, which she doesn't believe to be the case, well, because she's an idiot, I've proven it twice. One of the ways this could be combated would be to get a higher voter turnout to dilute the fraudulent votes. See, you know, I'm sorry, all of these answers. Dilute fraudulent votes. Okay, that's not a problem. That's not the answer. We need to have safe, secure, proper, and fair elections, not dilute the disenfranchisement or the voter fraud that's going on. Gail. Anyway. Another effort Gray supported to establish a 30-day residency requirement to vote in Wyoming failed during the recent 2024 legislative session. Actually, it didn't. The Corporations Elections and Political Subdivisions Committee, through Kale Case, presented a bill for durational residency, which continued to use the term bona fide resident, which already exists in statute, but didn't define that term. It just said, whatever this means, bona fide resident, you have to be for 30 days. And it didn't have anything to do with making sure that the people that were registered at an actual address that is attached to the political subdivision that they really live in. We had the president of the Wyoming County Clerks Association admit on this show, you heard the recording if you've listened in the past, that when we get down to homeless people, we go ahead and register them either at the county courthouse or at the town hall of the town they say they live in. Really? Come on. What ballot are you going to give them? We got a homeless guy down in Bags, Carbon County, Wyoming. You register him at the courthouse, he gets a ballot for downtown Rawlins because that's the precinct that that's in, and he gets to vote on the school district and all of the city council members for that area, but he's homeless down in Bags. And if he's homeless down in Bags, how does he get his ballot? He can't get an absentee ballot. Two reasons. One, he's got no, you know, mailbox down there in Bags, and he's registered at the county courthouse. What are they going to do? Mail it out of the county courthouse and pick it right back up in the mail and wait for him? Or he would have to show up and drive all the way from Bags, Wyoming, up to Rawlins in order to vote in person. How many homeless people do you know that are that mobile in order to vote? And the ultimate result is still you're giving out ballots to people that don't physically live in an area and they're voting on things that affect that area. So, yeah, Gail, again, I think you're barking up the wrong tree, but oh well. On Sunday, the Laramie County Clerk's Office will host its first voter registration pop-up event from 1 to 5 at the Laramie County Library. Staff from the Clerk's Office will register new voters, update registration for those who have moved, update party affiliations, request absentee ballots, or have questions about the upcoming elections. Well, there you go. Secretary of State Chuck Gray's office didn't do any of that. And here you have a county clerk doing it on their own, saying, well, I actually care about my voters, and this is important. I'm not going to sit around. Well, I guess they have sat around for about a year. But I'm not going to wait any longer. I'm going to go ahead and put this information out. And it's easily accessible. Go to WildEdge. Look up the law that they passed that everybody's complaining about isn't being advertised. It's out there. You can find this information either by engaging your clerk or doing a little bit of research. All right, back to Fremont County Clerk Julie Freese also plans to send notification cards to voters in her county about the party affiliation and absentee ballot changes, but said there is no concerted effort being organized by the clerks around the state as a whole. Why not? You got an association. You've known that this was going to happen over the last year, but you guys haven't even talked about it yet. But you'll waste your time complaining that Secretary of State Chuck Gray also hasn't talked about it or done anything about it yet. Well, a lot of hypocrisy in this story. So coming to the end, although the crossover voting change was publicized in the news when it was made last year, that was my question, it hasn't been brought up much in 2024. Further, less politically engaged voters or people who don't allow or follow the news as much may still be unaware of the change. Mary Langford, here we go again, a former county clerk and representative of the Wyoming County Clerks Association, said the only tangible result of the party affiliation change will be frustrated voters who have historically waited until Election Day when they vote to declare their party affiliation. Quote, I think that's what's going to happen. I think what is going to happen is they're not going to get to vote, which is the saddest story of all, Mary Langford said. Well, Mary Langford, I'm glad you were so, you know, on top of things when you were a county clerk and on the County Clerks Association, that you think that party affiliation has anything to do with them being able to vote. They can still vote no matter what, especially if they're used to waiting until the very last second on Election Day to go and update their registration, choose the party they wanted to affiliate with, which means what? They had to re-register. So they can vote no matter what. As long as they're a registered voter, they can't change parties or register in a different party than previous registered. If they fell off the voter rolls, they can still engage in the same process you say they're used to, changing or updating your registration on Election Day, and they can register to vote. They just can't move out of whatever party they were previously registered in. And if they fell off the voter rolls, it's because they didn't vote in the last election. So your statement's wrong. They don't show up to every election and register and affiliate with whatever party they want on Election Day every time. But nobody's getting thrown off the voter rolls because of this. And nobody's being denied a ballot because of this. If you are registered or you can register the day of, some people can't. And this is the big boogeyman in the room. What about the people who don't have the documentation? It's not that much documentation, especially if you have your driver's license on you. But nobody's going to be told they can't vote because voter registration, party affiliation changes have a cap on them or a closed window for it. So take it from a former county clerk. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to complain about what's happening and do nothing myself to actually fix it. So thank you, Mary Langford. Everybody can still register at the polls if they're not currently registered, and they can still vote. This is stopping the corrupt, lackadaisical, unprepared, willy-nilly way that they got away with it in the past. It's a law now. If you don't follow politics, I get it. But every statement I've made, why isn't the news? Why aren't these civic organizations, these voter, participation organizations, the county clerks, aren't doing anything? And their chief complaint is, Secretary of State isn't doing anything. You know, let me see if I can come up with a scenario. The complaint here, the one I'm hearing coming out of this story is, it's just like saying, oh, I'm a manager at a local McDonald's and I have a concern about customer service and, you know, timely satisfaction of that service that they're getting. But our district manager is doing nothing here at my local location to get these burgers out faster and make the customers happy and feel all good so they don't have to do anything to get their food. As I just stand here and watch while doing nothing myself, even though I'm right here and part of it's my job, even if it's self-opposed, you know, Gail Simmons, I've got Civics 307. I help people register to vote, but I haven't done anything. So you're a county clerk, nothing stopping you from informing your voters, providing education, guidance, or assistance to them, or at very least taking the time you wasted complaining to Little Lion Leo Trotsky about this issue and pointing a finger at Chuck Gray, to instead post something informational on your department website, social media page, or even pick up the phone maybe and call Chuck Gray's office yourself and devise a plan to address this. Maybe you all can work together and not have one plan coming out of the Secretary of State's office and then double work that is taxpayer funded coming out of your office. It's nothing new. The law went into effect a year ago, And if the clerks mentioned here in this story, or Gail Simmons, or Mary Langford, actually cared about voter involvement and awareness, then they would have gotten on the ball way earlier than 2 months before the cutoff date that they're complaining the Secretary of State has done the same. So if you really want to demonize Chuck Gray for this, you have to take some of that on yourself. Because guess what? It's either your job because you're a county clerk to do it, or your self-espoused responsibility because you say, oh, I run the League of Women Voters. I run Civics 307. I used to be a county clerk. If you cared, you would do something. Then you would actually have the right to complain. You could say, I've spent the last year doing this and I've gotten zero assistance from Secretary of State Chuck Gray. But that's not the case. It's wait till the last minute, try to demonize somebody when you haven't done anything yourself. So with that little rant being all concluded, that's going to be our news story for the hour. About 20 minutes left in the show. Going to jump back into some Jailbird Joey road jams here. And when we come back, got that Jailbird Joey biological mailbag right here on the Independence Network. Travis Tritt for you with the Rolling Stones classic Honky Tonk Women. That is one of my favorite road jams when I'm getting out there. Yeah, I car dance. I sing. But yeah, a lot of windshield time here in Wyoming, so you got to have your playlist ready to go. But that brings us into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag segment. Finally just got my last cup of Jailbird Joey's Jailbird Joey Java. Dark, bitter, bold, and always with a full head of steam on it, just like your favorite internet radio host and grandiloquently obtuse podcaster, Jailbird Joey. Hope to be able to get that out to you this year so you can enjoy it as well. Digging into the biological mailbag, oh, good friend Bill from Glenrock, if you're a listener to the program, you know you've heard his name before, writes, Jailbird Joey, I've heard Cyrus Western isn't running this year. I'm very happy to hear that. I don't believe his excuse, but is there anyone else that you know of who isn't running for office again and may open up a seat? Well, Bill, I hope you're doing well out there in Glen Rock. And yeah, I got a short list here. Let me see if I can pull it up. A few notable mentions. In fact, I think this is pretty complete as of today. Sandy Newsom said she is not going to run again for House District 24, and that has brought Nina Weber and the mayor of Cody, Well, forgot his name, so if that tells you anything. So the mayor of Cody and Nina Weber are currently stated that they are going to run for that position. But as we talked about in the last news story, the filing period doesn't open until the 15th of May, 12th of May, somewhere right around there. So we'll have to see what the final list looks like. But pretty confident Nina Weber's definitely going to be running, and probably this mayor Cody throw his name in the hat too. That's House District 24. A couple of shifts that we're seeing. Fred Baldwin down in Senate District 14 has stated he's not going to run again, which has caused an opening to happen for Albert Summers to execute his plan to move over from the House into the Senate. That will vacate House District 20 over on the House side. And that's no guarantee that Summers is going to get that seat, but it looks like Baldwin stepped out of the way so Summers could come over. Summers has said he is not coming back to the House one way or another. But there is another a candidate in that race as well, a young lady, true daughter of Wyoming, down there in the Evanston, Sweetwater County, Lincoln, Sublette area. David Iverson did a full interview with her on yesterday's show, so I won't get too deep into it. I'll send you over to his podcast and look for yesterday's episode of Cowboy State Politics, and you'll get all the information on that. This just in, this morning, well, Affy Ellis won't be running again for Senate District 8. That's the southern city portion, the southern half of Cheyenne from the capital south, and then way off to the southwest towards Little America and the Flying J truck stop. She said, kind of like Cyrus Western, family time is more important, and it's definitely not the incivility or the infighting in the legislature that's driving me out. But again, that opens up a Senate seat, which, you know, kind of feeds this rumor we heard earlier in the legislative session that Jared Olson from House District 11, that's right about the same area, Central Cheyenne, right around the Capitol, will attempt to shift to the Senate. Not completely confirmed, but it's interesting that Ellis is stepping out of the way to open up the Senate seat that Olson would be able to run for, and I'm starting to see a pattern here. Baldwin steps out, and immediately it opens a seat for Summers, and Summers had already shown some intent to want to run for the Senate. And this isn't just like, hey, I want to run, so I'm going to run. You can only run for one seat because where you're registered. So your House district is normally inside or nested within a Senate district. That's the only seat you can really run for. You don't even have time to move because you have to live wherever you move if you move to a different district for a year before you can run. Plus, if you move, you got to vacate your current seat. Now, I get it. The legislative session's over. But these people still have interim work under the current seat that they occupy. So, yeah, it's kind of, it looks like it's been set up to happen. I'm going to get out of the way because I'm tired of this, or you're a little stronger in this, or you're looking to move up. And yeah, if you think it's all by accident, no, there's definitely a design, a plan here. So yeah, Baldwin moves out of the way, opens a path for Summers, who is vulnerable. Ellis steps out of the way, opens a path for Olson, who I think is vulnerable for the seats they're moving towards in the Senate. All of these, of course, again, are rumors. But they are rumors we had heard being discussed during the session. And, you know, we had prognosticated a little bit on the morning show earlier in, I don't know, mid to late February, that this was a plan or this was a possibility and the likelihood of having it. We didn't know, but here you have it. People stepping out of the way to make room for their House counterparts, which does a couple things. And we'll get into what that does in a second. Other rumors, Barry Crago may try to take on Senator Dave Kinski for Senate District 22 in Sheridan and Johnson County, leaving all of these, but especially this one, leaves a potential vacuum in House District 40 for Mark Jones to fill that position that he's already stated he's running for, whether Crago runs or not. But I don't know. Again, that's just a rumor. Barry Crago may run for the seat that he currently occupies again. And even if he does run against Kinski instead of stick in the House race, it's not a gimme. It's not an automatic for Jones just because Crago vacated. You know, there's always Boozer Bill Novotny sitting and waiting in the wings, ready to pounce or stumble or drive backwards into the next higher office he thinks he's going to take. So you can't take any of this stuff for granted. And that's the point I'm going to really drive into, is no matter who's running for what or trying to shift from their current seat to a different seat, it always leaves a vacuum behind them, and a vacuum that needs to be addressed as a real challenge. None of this is a freebie or a gimme. Just because Albert Sommer's not running for the House doesn't mean winning his House seat that he's vacating is going to be easy or automatic. Even though incumbency is a strong political tool in Wyoming, but you got to remember, just because you aren't running against an incumbent or think you're not running against an incumbent does not make the race any easier or less problematic, or the ascension automatic. You're not going to get it for free. It tends to trigger, I don't know, an onslaught of too many candidates. And when you have a bunch of people who aren't incumbents, none of them have voting records. You just kind of take them at their word for it. Redcoats are absolutely looking to save or gain seats. So don't think that just because there's a vacuum there that somebody isn't going to, you know, put a bunch of effort into making sure that the Wyoming caucus or the liberal Republicans or even the Democrats will try to fight for that seat. So you got to be prepared. You got to have good candidates, and you got to make sure you don't have too many. A great example of this is when my last attempt to run for the legislature in 2020, everybody thought Jerry Paxton was going to finish and not run again. I had it on good authority. In fact, even had some of the communications from the Speaker of the House at the time, Steve Harshman, begging Jerry Paxton, Kathy Conley, a few of these other legislators to please run again one more time. So I was prepared to run against Jerry Paxton. But we had a couple of, you know, random, oh, I thought no one was going to run for this seat, and so I decided to put my name in, and that's how we ended up with D. Garrison, who got a whole 56 votes in a four-way primary, but in her town, she only got 56 votes. But between all of the candidates jumping in, people thinking it was going to be easy, not being prepared to run a campaign, it tipped the favor back to Jerry Paxton. Had all those votes gone against Paxton and not to these other, you know, multitudes of candidates, you may have actually had a conservative representative in that last term for Jerry Paxton. But, you know, Paxton played the game. He waited till the last possible day to file, saw who else was running, and it was probably planned. Hey, we're going to make them think this, but we're going to do this instead. And again, that filing period opens the middle of May and runs to the end. So we'll have to see who's actually running, who's actually not, and what these matchup means. And it doesn't matter why they're doing it. Just assume that everybody has a reason behind it. If they're trying to switch and move, fine. Our responsibility as voters is to make sure that we have good candidates for every race, regardless of who is or isn't running in one direction or the other. So if you have a representative that doesn't represent your values, or more importantly, does not represent the values that they espouse to believe in when they run for office, hey, come up with a better candidate, and don't wait until 2 months before the election to do it. You should be developing these candidates on a two-year cycle, starting with the end of the last election. So Bill down there in Glen Rock, thanks for the question. We will definitely keep you up to date here on the Independence Network. Who's running, who's not, who's running which direction. And I'm personally going to keep an eye on which direction Bill Novotny is stumbling or driving if he's out there on the road, because we know he doesn't like to drive in the right direction on the highway there. But a lot of this, we'll just have to wait and see. But Afi Ellis confirmed she's not running. Sandy Newsom has confirmed she's not running. And Fred Baldwin has confirmed that he is not running. So we'll wait to see, get the facts and data on that in the future. So thanks for the email there, Bill in Glen Rock. If you have a comment, question, concern, complaint, critique, anything for the Just Blame Joey biological mailbag, you can send it yourself to joey@justblamejoey.com, and I'll do my best to get that on the air in a timely manner. But with that, we're going to get back into just a couple minutes of Jailbird Joey Road Jams. And when we get back, we're going to have that grandiloquent word of the week right here on Just Blame Joey Live. little rock and roll from Robert Palmer there, Addicted to Love. I'm not. I'm definitely not addicted to love. I don't care about feelings, but some of you out there might enjoy that jam, especially when you're going down Long Wyoming Highway. Anyway, Jailbird Joey's grandiloquent word of the week is here. Of course, grandiloquent meaning pompous or extravagant in language, style, or manner, especially in a way that is intended to impress and annoy, just like your favorite internet radio host and grandiloquently obtuse podcaster, Jailbird Joey. Today we have, let's see, grandiloquent word of the week is gilligapus. Gilligapus, which means an awkward, foolish, or silly person acting awkwardly, foolishly, or silly. As used in a sentence or an example, Senator Kale Case attempted to defeat Chloe's Law with his rather gilligapus comparison to his favorite childhood snack food.
My favorite sandwich in grade school, you'll think this isn't relevant, peanut butter sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly. Love peanut butter and jelly.
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah, way yeah, way yeah, way yeah. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Do the peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
Well, I think you're done, Mr. Senator, and it's,
Nancy.
That's what we call premature vocalization. Didn't mean to hit that button, but yeah, Kale Case, he's not running for office. He's good for another 2 years on the 4-year Senate cycle, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to stick it to him every chance I get. And, gilligapus, learn it, know it, use it, and go forth with your own grandiloquence so you can avoid sounding like old gilligapus Nancy Case.
Nancy, Nancy, Nancy.
This is a good deal for Wyoming.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
So I definitely believe that we need new taxes.
Nancy.
We need to consider income taxes.
Nancy.
I think it's a misinterpretation of the word or.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
You do a lot of adorable things, sir.
Nancy.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
You got to love that. You do a lot of anecdotal things, sir. I'm going to cut you off, Mr. Secretary of State Chuck Gray. You're just telling personal stories here. And then he goes out on the floor of Senate and talks about his favorite peanut butter jelly time snack food as a kid. Does the hypocrisy ever end in the Wyoming legislature? Anyway, with that, we're getting into the last couple minutes of the show, so make sure you're tuning in to the Independence Network all day long. Keep it playing in the background if you must. But remember, we have a brand new schedule, lots of new content, and we are shifting over from the old 2-hour shows, Cowboy State Politics and Just Blame Joey Live. Used to be 2 hours. Now they're an hour each, but we're giving you the morning show. Every afternoon at the end of the run, we will be playing yesterday's episode of the morning show, and then we reboot at 3 p.m., starting with this morning's morning show, this morning's Cowboy State Politics Live. Just Blame Joey Live after that. There's some Paul Harvey right in the middle. We got Crosstalk Live, Wide Right Turn, Hair Affair with Christine. Tons of stuff coming your way, and we're getting ready to lock this down as we head in to that legislative session for 2024. So again, if you have any comments, concerns, complaints, compliments, I keep forgetting that one, critiques or questions, send them to Joey at justblamejoey.com or David at cowboystatepolitics.com, and we'll be sure to address all that for you. Going to get into a couple of errands for today and start planning out the schedule for next week, so I'd love to have your comments included in that effort. Until then, hope you're doing well out there and hope you're sticking with the Independence Network, because the information we're putting out here is all backed up by facts and data. And it's going to be important not only for you to know for the upcoming legislative session, but once you know, for you to share with all your families, friends, and neighbors, because one vote isn't going to change an entire election, as you heard all these idiots complain about when they were whining about Chuck Gray and crossover voting. I don't think it's going to change an outcome. Well, guess what, people? We're here to change outcomes. And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey.
And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey. Just Blame Joey Live is a production of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.